Now, Irish comics have been to the forefront of the comedy world. People like Dara Brynn, Ed Byrne and Tommy Tiernan, to name just a few, have been flying the Irish flag of comedy both here in Ireland and around the world. But while the laughter may be the best medicine, just how profitable is the business of being a comedian? With the Vodafone Comedy Festival in the Ivy Gardens, we thought it'd be the ideal time to look at the business angles of comedians. To discuss this very funny business, I'm delighted to be joined by Al Porter and also Alison Spittle. And I do believe we may have another guest who's running late, as comedians often tend to do.
What?
But he may join us, and that's Joe Rooney. He might be with us in a minute. But we'll start with these great two comedians. And
we're he had to get the bus, which will tell you how profitable the business of comedy is.
Fantastic.
We'll start with Al Porter there. Al,
how are you?
Great, and thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. And this is a subject matter I've been looking forward to for a while. But tell me, you know, it's funny, it's great, it's a laugh, but it's also a business. And like any business, you've got to start at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, most of us do our first gigs for no money whatsoever, and you could do that for a couple of years if you had to, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all about getting those three-hour buses up to Belfast and back, which Alison, you remember doing as well.
Yeah.
And you go up, you might get £10 or something, then you come back down again, or you could be playing. I used to play every Friday on Gardner Street in the Maple Hotel.
Wow.
It's kind of a hostel more than a hotel.
Oh,
and there would be about, it was a very Republican bar, I remember, and there would be about five or six Dutch backpackers, and you'd be gigging to them, and they wouldn't have a clue what you were saying, which was probably, I mean, beneficial. I'd probably still benefit from an audience that has English as a second language. They'll just kind of enjoy my funny movements and my pink tie. But yeah, it's incredible that it is a, people forget that it is a business, you know. And show business, there was a guy, Pat Egan, you probably met Pat over the years,
I did.
Great concert promoter.
Yeah.
And Pat always said to me, because I know Pat since I was a kid, when I was doing theatre, Ikeno or you know, Annie or Oliver, I was always in the Gaiety of the Olympia as a kid. And Pat used to write me Christmas cards and say, don't forget, you know, the show part of show business is the smallest part of that word. He said the business part is what's more important. And in a way, it is, because no matter how hilarious you are and funny you are, and people like Alison are absolutely incredible, we wouldn't know about Alison were it not that she was out on social media, or she was, you know, getting into the newspapers, or that she was managing herself well. And you need to be managed, and a lot of people are mismanaged as well.
Yeah.
And they do the wrong thing at the wrong time. Believe me, I've done that. I was booked, like, put this for an example. I agreed through, you know, over enthusiasm to do a Christmas show for RT Television. Now, this went out on Christmas Eve, right? That's what you call a booking error.
Yeah.
I was not the right man to go out on Christmas Eve. I ruined Christmas for several families across Ireland. I got... No, it was shite! Did you see the bloody show? I had people avoiding me for weeks. They wouldn't come near me over how bad it was. It was a bit like years ago, Dean Martin's sidekick. What was his name? Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis, yes.
And Jerry Lewis had the Jerry Lewis Show, which was his attempt at a kind of Johnny Carson-esque Tonight Show. It was such a disaster that he took out full-page ads in the newspapers for 6 weeks, and they just said, "I'm sorry," signed Jerry Lewis. I felt like doing that myself.
Well, it's just like business. You have your successes and you have your failures. So,
yeah.
You know, you're talking about a show that doesn't work, or, you know, a business venture, a shop that doesn't work, or whatever it is. Like, we have all... I think that's...
It's common.
Yeah, it's to us all. Alison, let me bring you in and
cool.
Just some of the things.
I've done bad TV shows too.
So. All right, tell us about some of your failures then, since we're all speaking so negatively here this morning.
I suppose I've done. I did this show that went out at 11:30, I think, just after Christmas 2 years ago, and the Independent reviewed it, and the critic counted how many people were involved in the credits. 63 of us. And he said it was the worst thing he's ever seen in his life.
What was it?
It was called You Choose or Lose.
It took 63.
Oh my God, Choose or Lose.
Do you remember
oh,
that?
Alison, it was awful.
I know! I mean,
it took 63 to muck it up.
I remember saying... I remember saying to my agent, "What do you mean I'm not on Choose or Lose?" And they went, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, I thought I was meant to be the new star of RT, like getting booked for these panel shows."
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I went, "I'm delighted now."
Oh my gosh.
Alison, let me bring us back to the sober to the sober reality of business. And tell me
sober.
How you organise yourself from a business perspective.
Oh gosh. I think in the past 2 years I have taken it a lot more seriously. I've been doing it for nearly 6 years. For the first definite 2 years you never get paid. And then you're just getting sporadic payments and I worked as a radio researcher actually, before that. That was my main job.
A lot of pain involved with that.
Oh my gosh. I was used to a lot of pain.
As poor old Patter here, I'm down to business.
So then the work dried up in the radio and I just decided to give comedy a proper go. I suppose with the business side of it, let me try and think. I've only, after getting representation maybe in the past 4 months, so before I was representing myself for a long time, the hardest thing I found was negotiating payment. Because you're essentially asking someone for, you're trying to value yourself to someone and the service that you give. And if you're doing comedy, I find it very hard, even if I'm at a wedding and someone comes up to me and go, oh, I hear you're a comedian, are you funny? And I will honestly, I'll go, no. No, I'm not. Just continue eating my soup and my roll.
Well, you know, you touched on an interesting point there, which is that one of representation. You know, obviously, you know, you represent yourself, you're sort of maybe defocused from the art of providing what it is you do. Professional representation brings contacts, it brings professionalism, it brings all sorts of things, but you got to be sure you've got the right person who's fit for you. And who's going to grow your business.
That's true. And I'm with a very good person that represents me now, and kind of I've been branching into different aspects now. I've been doing a bit of voiceover work, and that's a handy bit of revenue.
Oh yeah, I love that.
I love that so
Kevin
much.
Kevin McGahan gets all that.
Oh, look at here. The Renault, what's it? He said the Dacia
he
range.
He does everything. He's selling me cars. He's telling me to go to Super Value.
I love it so much. It's like you know that Christmas film, every time a bell rings an angel gets his wings. Every time I hear an ad, I can hear Kevin McGahan getting another check. It's wonderful.
Alison mentioned there about getting paid.
Yes.
You know, again, if you're going, and again, in the early days, you know, before you're as well known as you are now, you go along, you agree a rate, obviously, for the night, whatever it is you're doing. Getting paid, is it a payment do you get paid on the night?
You see, it's so awkward because I think Irish people in particular were very apologetic, you know.
Sorry, can you pay me, please?
That's my emails in the past few years.
I'm awfully sorry to bother you here, but would you really mind paying me?
I mean, if you lend somebody money, and in Ireland, and then you ask for it back, you're going, look, I hate to bother you, and I don't mind if you don't have it, you know, just let me know. And you know, that's how we got into the financial situation we're in now as a country. I think there were bankers ringing people going, I don't suppose you have that 200 million, and you're going, no, I actually don't. Oh, you're grand, I won't hassle
you
for it.
And then you see him in the pub the next week and you're like, that fella, how dare he.
But the lines of delineation really between who you are as a performer and who you are as a business person is really difficult for a comic, because I actually think it's one of the few kind of creative platforms where, you know, for a long time you have to do the business stuff yourself. Most bands I know, there's an L manager going for them. Somebody in the band has a bit of a business head on them, maybe the bassist, who knows. And you know, the same with wedding singers. I've always found the same with dancers. I have lots of friends who are dancers and they're just booked by the producer, by the choreographer on reputation. Comics, it's a hard one to say, I need your stage time.
Yeah.
I want the stage and the platform you can give me, but I also want you to pay me for what I've given you.
Yeah.
And that negotiation is difficult, isn't it? Back and forth. And representation, as you said, Alison, is really important. Joe Rooney!
Hello!
I'd like just to say
we're
that
just talking about getting comedians, paid, Joe.
Comedians aren't known for their timing. Joe Rooney has just joined us. Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm all right. How's crack? All right.
Thanks very much for coming in.
No problem. Yeah, sure.
Will we bring him up to speed?
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
I said there'd just be a team of people behind people. Like, at the moment, I've a UK agent. Right, so he gets his cut of whatever you do in the UK, live at the Apollo or whatever I did, or the new Channel 5 show.
Yeah.
I'll get in whatever plugs I can. And then there's an Irish agent.
Yes.
And then there's a publicist.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, and all these people that suddenly are getting paid.
I don't have any of those people.
And that's why you're late.
No, I don't have an agent.
Joe, you're very
welcome.
I don't
have a publicist, don't have any of that. So.
What I love,
do you self-promote?
Yeah,
you look
I
after
do.
After sending out the invoices yourselves?
I do all that.
Do all your own tax returns, all that sort of stuff?
I do all that. I do my VAT.
Right.
Do
you?
But I do all that kind of PR and stuff I do myself, yeah.
I was going to ask as well about, I suppose, the various strands of comedy, and assuming that, you know, you've got to, like in any business, you've got to diversify because the sum of the parts, so you might be doing TV, you might be doing stand-up, you might be doing radio, as you said. So do you sort of fish in a whole load of different ponds in terms of developing the business?
Well, Joe, that's right. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you do stand-up, acting, voiceover work, probably a bit of animation voiceover as well, and bit radio presenting, that kind of thing. Yeah. I'll be looking for your job as well.
You can have it.
There's lots of different things you can do.
And how are you finding business, Joe, in terms of your own success?
Picking up now. I thought it really hit bad about 4 years ago. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, back in the Celtic Tiger days, you could be selling out venues in Leitrim on a Monday night. You know, it was just really easy.
Could you?
No. Well, no, I was touring around with Pat Short, and she's like, you're doing five or six nights a week. Well, six nights a week, like all over the country. So, you
and
know,
Pat's and it a was keen businessman as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Well, he's a publican as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Smart.
I think he's sold that pub.
Yeah.
No.
From a producer's point of view,
no,
he's so smart. You know what I mean? Like he rents in the chairs himself in a lot of the halls that he it plays down the country. So Pat knows exactly how many chairs he has there.
Oh, yeah.
So that nobody can pack in extra villagers.
He rents out the venue and does put on the show himself.
And his road manager, whoever it is, will go over and he'll do the tickets himself and he'll count how many people are in the room.
Count the chairs.
And, you know, that matters, like, you know.
Yeah, so it's ownership of the of the P&L the whole way, to use a business term.
Like he
keeps an eye on the cash because he handles it himself, or his agent does.
But you have to. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing the Olympia Panto now 13 years this Christmas, and I started off in that as a child and then moved upwards, and now I'm a producer on it as well, and I write it, and as a producer I never realised the work that goes into it. I'm going to meetings this year and we're talking about who's the right people to market with, where do you, you know, where, how are we going to get our target market, and how are we going to meet. I mean, we've got something like 40 shows or something, that's 40,000 tickets to sell.
Yeah.
And that the burden of that financially is on me and my business partner Stuart O'Connor, like, so, you know, it matters.
Okay, we're talking the business of comedy. My guests are Al Porter, Joe Rooney and Alison Spittle, and I'm really enjoying this conversation because it's funny as well as everything else. I like the way you bring humour to business, and hopefully we can do it a bit the other way around as well. Can I ask as well, maybe you might help me with this, Alison, the sort of costs that you have when you're on the road. So there's obviously, if it's you and maybe you have a bit of gear or equipment or whatever, but are there, like, there's accommodation and a travel cost and that, but what kind of costs do you...
I'll tell you what the costs are now. I'm doing Edinburgh next, and so I'm going Wednesday.
Tell us that,
and
then.
And it's going to cost... Well, I'll give you the numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Give us the numbers.
It'll cost me €1,800 to rent a room in a flat. Then it's going to cost me the guts of £3,000 to rent the room that I'm going to perform in. Then it's going to cost me the guts of... Oh, £1,000 to get into the two different books that you have to be in. So you have to be in a brochure that is a part of the main Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You cannot do the Fringe Festival without being in that brochure. And you have to be in another brochure if you're doing anything with the four big venues. So that's the guts of £1,000. And then it's €250 for posters and flyers. And then £7 an hour for a flyer to do it with you, plus £300 to get that flyer.
So do you know now, before you go to Edinburgh, that I've got to sell X amount of tickets to cover these costs? Have you in your head?
You'll never cover them.
You're never going to cover the costs.
Right, okay. So
it's
that's
like
a lost leader.
It's like going to Diego Comic-Con San Diego Comic-Con.
That's why Free Fringe came in to Edinburgh, because a lot of venues were really overcharging.
Right.
And so comedians were coming away with a loss, even selling out a whole run and coming away with a loss, which is... Why Free Fringe started out where it's a free in and the venue is free for the act.
Yeah.
And then you get people donate whatever they think
whatever you're worth.
It was kind of frowned upon for a while, but now I think it's getting recognition.
But Joe, that's good if you're funny like you, but if I ask people to pay what you want, I wouldn't be getting
that.
I'd be coming home with you.
Yeah.
But that's not to mention the cost of the drink as well, Alison. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd want to be having a few drinks every night to kind of keep up with that.
Oh,
can you tell me about, and again, the agent, or, you know, it's often kind of an off maligned character for often maybe times good reasons, but
I think it is handy to have an agent that you need somebody in negotiating money. You can't do it yourself. Yeah.
Just to
you
put yourself between the proposition. It makes for better negotiation because you can always blame it on somebody else.
Exactly. You say to your agent, get as much as you can, and then when you ring them back, you go, God, they're terrible, aren't they? I told them I'd do it for nothing.
and you'd book it because you want to perform, and we love to perform.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, I love the lights. I always say, open a fridge and I'll do 20 minutes. You know what I mean? So we want to be out there. We would book up our calendar and we would be doing every gig under the sun until we're completely exhausted and spent, and it wouldn't be worth it, you know. No. And sometimes somebody needs to go, you actually don't need to do that gig because you're going to be wrecked, and you won't be able to do the corporate the next night or whatever, or do the theatre gig.
And the travel as well takes a lot out of it.
Absolutely.
Like your hours, you know, like I can't read on in a car or on a bus.
You shouldn't be reading when you're driving.
But I get travel sick, so I can't write, so I'm just stuck there listening to a podcast or whatever.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to ask you about
things. Speak for yourself.
Things like the Vodafone Comedy Festival in the Ivy Gardens this weekend. Tell me about those kind of events. Like, you're all there.
Yeah, I'm just going to nip it. It's like a comedian's Christmas for me. Yeah. I love it. I look forward to it every year. Genuinely. Yeah. The guy who runs it is one of the most professional people I've ever dealt with in my life. And it's just, when you get a good one like that, you're so happy. Because normally, like, I'm used to promoters kind of like balling up a 20 in their hand and shaking it and walking away.
I love that handshake.
But isn't it? This is so true. They bring you off to a small corner.
Yes, I know, yeah.
They bring you off to a small corner. You can't
even count it.
There's something for yourself.
It's like a reverse mugging. Because they just bring you down to an alley and bring it down and give you money.
A friend of mine actually asked Joe Dolan's brother, get into show business, and he said, get a velvet jacket and an Alsatian.
That's true. That is absolutely what you need.
All right, listen, it's been a great, great discussion. I'm sorry I have to bring it to an end, but really, thanks so much for coming in. Al Porter, Joe Rooney, Alison Spittle, good luck to you all in the Vodafone Comedy Festival this weekend.
Thank you.
Really, really good to talk to you about your business.
And the point is, we can't eat if you don't buy the bloody tickets.
And I'm on and up loan in the Prince of Wales on the 10th of August.
There you go.
You're plugging that. Very good. 1:45 every day in Edinburgh if you're over there counting house. Alison's built this.
My national tour starts in September.
Okay,
six nights
win.
In Vicar Street at Cork Opera House.
And I'm very shy when it comes to promoting their own businesses, our comedians. So thanks very much to them for joining us. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.